grab your message notes if you already haven't. We're going to get into the message here today. I want to start off with a scripture that I am praying over you already just in my personal time with the Lord during this Christmas season. And it's in Romans 15, 13, and it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Would you read that with me? Come on, all of us together. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." How many want to abound with hope? Amen. There's no doubt to me that this can be one of the most difficult seasons for many people. And I think it's one of the most hopeful times, but it can also be one of the most hopeless times of the year for people. And, you know, really where we get the title of this series is from the song, "O Holy Night," one of my favorite Christmas songs that we sing. And in that line, it says, "A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks in a new and glorious morn." And my question is, just I want to lead off with this, just this thought today as we just work in this message a little bit, because, you know, Christmas is an incredible time of the year for us. And as believers and followers of Jesus, man, we're not here if it wasn't for Christmas. God sending the greatest gift that he ever could to you and I, to all of humanity, and that is through his son Jesus, we are saved, amen, and forgiven. And so I'm thankful for that. But does Christmas thrill you? It was a question I was thinking about this week. Does it thrill you? And I pray that if it's hard to answer that, or maybe for whatever reason or whatever things that you've been through, it's tough to answer that, I pray that this Christmas will be different than any other Christmas. I pray that you experience something with God personally that you've never experienced, and that you experience the thrill of knowing Jesus and understanding the purpose of why God sent his son, the true hope that we have. Amen. I'm thankful for the hope that we have. And so I want to say, read this out of Proverbs 13, because I think this is where many of us can get during this time of year. And we experience this throughout the year as well. But it says this: "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." Hope deferred is in other words, when your expectations don't happen. How many have ever expected or hoped for something and it didn't just quite pan out the way you were hoping it would? Yeah. And whether that may be finances, whether that may be family, jobs, marriage, maybe just life in general, without hope, the Bible says, man, our hearts get sick. And it's a tough place. It's an awful place to be in a place of hopelessness. And so I think one of the things that's important, how do we identify where kind of we're at if we're dealing with that hopelessness? And I even would say it this way, that sometimes I think we don't even know that we're dealing with hopelessness. And so maybe today we kind of identify what's going on and then ask God to really help break us past this in Jesus' name. Amen? And so I think hopelessness does three things. I think there's three symptoms to it. And the first one is this, if you're following along in our notes, that's disoriented. That when you're dealing with hopelessness, you become disoriented. In other words, you lose sight of where you're at. You lose sight of direction. You lose sight of where you're going. When you're hopeless, you really don't know what to do. It's really how we were before we came to Christ. Amen? Because we were in a place that we were hopeless. And how many know we're trying to reach a world that is hopeless and bring them the hope that is in Jesus? Amen? And that's why if God's lost kids matter to him, they better always matter to us. And that's why we're a church that's relentlessly pursuing the lost and seeing people in our city come into a personal, authentic relationship with Jesus, because the lost, his lost kids are important. One of my favorite scriptures is in Luke 15, where Jesus talks about the parable of the lost sheep. If you remember that story, if not, there was 99 sheep. And the Bible says that one of those sheep went astray. And the shepherd left the 99 to go after the one. Now, religion or the world would tell you having 99 and losing one is not bad. But aren't you thankful that God in his so incredible, audacious love for you and me said that the one is always worth going after? Because you and I at one point were the one that he went after. and that used maybe somebody in our life, a relationship, or maybe it was just an experience that we just had one-on-one, that God pursued us. And I think it's so awesome to know that even when we're not pursuing God, God is always pursuing us. He is in relentless pursuit this morning of people in Fort Wayne and beyond that don't know him, that he wants to know personally. Like, that's the aggressiveness of the love of God, that it is a contagious thing to experience. And I would say that, man, we are in a place as a church that full of hope today, because we know, and if you don't have that, you can know it today personally, that hope that is in Christ. And it's powerful. You know, I was thinking too about how lost matters to God. I was thinking how numbers are so important to God. God knows the number of hairs on your head, the Bible says. How many know that's pretty impressive? Yeah. How many know God's pretty good at doing his job? Yeah, last time I checked, done real well. Amen. And he has a book called Numbers. So numbers are important. And numbers for us, as we see numbers and people ask, are numbers important? I always say yes, because every number represents a life. Every life has a story. Every story is important to God. Amen. And I was thinking about my own kids. It was one of the days that Bethany trusted me with all three kids by myself. I mean, no, that's a lot of trust. It's okay to laugh. I can take it, okay? And she went and did her thing. And so we played and we messed around for a little bit. And all of a sudden we got done playing. We're just kind of laying around in the living room. And Braxton and Ashton are in there with me. But all of a sudden, Judah was gone. But it took us a few minutes to know that he was actually not there. And so Braxton and myself and Ashton, I said, well, where's your brother? And they said, well, I don't know where he's at. And so nonetheless, here we are in a place looking for him frantically when I go upstairs, go in the closets, he's not there, and I look at the front door, and it's open, like it's cracked, and my heart sinks. And as a father, man, I'm just thinking I'm the worst dad in the world. And I go and open the door, and there he is on the sidewalk. And my heart, again, I thought, man, I don't know whether to discipline this boy or pick him up and love him. So I went, ran to him, and I said, you can't do that to me. Can't do that to Daddy. But how many know I didn't go inside when I noticed Judah was gone and say, well, two out of three kids isn't bad. Bethany won't care. How many know I didn't do that? That just didn't happen. And so God is relentlessly pursuing the one. Everybody say he's pursuing the one. And so we get disoriented. Job was in a place like that. Bible said that he had lost it all, his family, possessions, his health. It says, where then is my hope? Job 17, who can see any hope for me? And then hopelessness leads us into a place of drifting. We get disoriented, then we start drifting. I remember swimming when I was a kid out in the ocean on a vacation with my mom and I, and she was on the beach, and there I was swimming, and man, the current just kind of took me on down the beach, and I lost track. And that's really what hopelessness does. It leads, you'll find yourself away from home base, and you start drifting. And what happens is you start trying other things because you think that's the way. And you start trusting your intellect more than you, and your will more than trusting God's will. And so hopelessness does that. It's just like it sucks you away, man. It just pulls you away and has the ability to create just this drift in your life where you start relying again on what you know. And how many know you and I just aren't that smart? And relying on just what you and I know is certainly not enough. Amen. Because we just need God. We need his wisdom. We need everything that he has. And so, but hopelessness does that. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And for some of us, you've been going through a tough time lately. For some of us, you're dealing with things where you feel like, man, I'm caught up in the drift. And then here's the last kind of the third thing, and that's despair. And I would say this is the ultimate hopelessness, and that is that you give up. One of the things I hate watching, it's hard for me as a pastor, just watching people quit on God. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says, we were under great pressure. Some of us are feeling that pressure. Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Where hopelessness got so bad that we just said, man, it's just not worth living anymore. And that is a lie of the enemy. I realize during this time of year, it's the greatest time of depression and suicide. But I'm believing the day will come, will be one of the, that stat will turn around in Jesus' name. And it'll only be turned around if God's people will do something instead of us just doing nothing. And that's being the light and the life to people around us. Amen? The human spirit needs hope to survive. I thought this was interesting and to thrive. One expert said, since my early years as a physician, I learned that taking away hope is for most people like pronouncing a death sentence. Their already hard-pressed will to live can become paralyzed, and they may give up and die. And again, that's why the hope and the vision of our church is to reach out to a dying world that doesn't know Jesus and to give them the hope that you and I have. Amen? Because we have a world that's in utter chaos, and I'm telling you, what they're searching for and what they need is an encounter with Jesus Christ. And you and I are part of being, come on, the vessels and the answers of reaching out to people for his glory. And maybe your people in your workplace, your neighbors, your family members, your friends, that God has called us to be in a place of light and hope to the rest of the world. So I want to define what hope is, but I want to first define what it isn't, all right? So let's define what it isn't. Hope is not wishful thinking, or when we try to hope things in or out of existence, or wishing the Colts would actually have a winning record. I need to confess, it is a struggle being a Colts fan, all right, right now. And it has been for the last few years. Anyway, so I needed to just get honest with you. All right, let's continue on. Hope is not blind optimism, although it's good to be optimistic. And I'm not asking everyone just to be happy, all right? Trying to act like something is not there is not hope, all right? Hope is not ambitious dreams. It's good to have goals, and we're going to talk about that in our next series in January. But the world has it wrong. They just see hope as something that is just optimistic, and that's it. Hope is this, jot it down. It's a confident expectation based on something solid. Love that. Hope is a confident expectation based on something solid. While everything else is moving around, it's an immovable force based on something solid. If Christ coming into the world offers hope, and it does provide a thrill, how do we locate and experience that through the pain that we're going through, or sometimes through the painful memories that we have? And I think the cool thing is, just as total darkness can't hold back light, the light of a tiny flame, the smallest increment of hope provides joy and provides purpose. Can you say amen? The smallest, the Bible says, just the smallest of a mustard seed is the kind of faith that you and I can have. Hebrews 11:1, I want you to see something. This was powerful. I was working with this through first service. It says, faith is, everybody shout, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I want you just to see the parallel between things hoped for and things not seen. Because how many know it can be a challenge? It can be a challenge to understand the parallel between the two. And the plus side is that through hope and through Christ, that's available to you, to me. And so no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you hear, it's above your circumstances. I need the kind of hope that when I'm in tough seasons, and Lord knows we all go through them, that I need the hope that this thing's going to end. Like this season, how many thank God it's not going to be winter forever? Like spring will come. Like it to come sooner than later. But for whatever season that we may be in, it's not here forever. That the hope is that something is going to change and happen, but typically through a season that you're going through, I don't know who this is for, is what we're trying to learn in the process of where God has us. And I believe the indicativeness of the next season determines our quickness to be able to respond in the season that we're in, and being teachable in the season that we're in. Amen, everybody? That was free. There you go, all right? Romans 5 says this. We also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint. Everybody shout, hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Have you ever heard anybody say, man, I don't want to get my hopes up? Anybody ever heard that saying? I just don't want to get my hopes up. So, and the reason why that usually comes about is because they've been disappointed with something maybe similar in the past, or just been disappointed of an expectation they had. And so they come to maybe what seems like a familiar place, and it feels like, man, I've been here before, and I just don't want to give my hopes up. But I want to challenge your thought and that thinking for a minute. And I was thinking about this week, because God said, and Paul's claim was, hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. And so there's a disconnect somewhere. So what is it? What is the disconnect? And I believe the disconnect may have something to do with what we're hoping for or what we're expecting. Is God's will really lined up with my life and what I want? Is my will his will? Is his will my will? Am I seeking to do what I want to accomplish, or am I really for real seeking to do what God has for me to do? So there's a disconnect. And then I came across this in one of Max Lucado's books. Thought this was so good, and I thought it was worth repeating to you of what hope is and not. It says this, hope is not what you'd expect. It is what you would never dream. It is a wild, improbable tale with a pinch me, I'm dreaming ending. Come on. Hope is not a granted wish or favor performed. No, it is far greater than that. It's a zany, unpredictable dependence on a God who loves to surprise us out of our socks and be there in the flesh to see our reaction. Can I just tell you the cool thing about your God? Like, he desires to blow your mind. We work through that through the Blessed Life series. God's desire is he's a giver. He wants to bless. We just have to understand that this really is not only the God that we serve, but what he wants to do. My favorite emoji right now since the update, the iOS update. All right, how many got an iPhone? All Christians have iPhones, okay? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Kinda. Anyways. Now, my favorite emoji right now on the update, I use it a lot, is the mind blown. Have you seen that on there? If not, check it out. It's really cool. I thought I told James last service we'd do a series called Mind Blown and just use that picture, you know. But when I think about that, that's exactly what God wants to do with you. Like, he desires to blow your mind. He's a God that's bigger than our brains. And if he's bigger than our brains, we got to give him the opportunity to be that. And the limitations and what we have oftentimes in our life, it's not necessarily what's happening around us. It's what's going on in us. Amen. And I'm just encouraging you and I this Christmas season, let's get as close to Jesus as we can. Let's be reminded through the hustle, the bustle, that Jesus is the source of everything that he's the source of everything that we need in our lives. And not only that, to see him as a God that is so personable, that desires to blow our minds, to bless our socks off, and just kind of show off, because that's who he is. He wants to bless his kids. But I think oftentimes we have our hands so on trying to control things that it gets messed up. And so jot this down. For most people, hope is something they do. Biblical hope is something we have. A lot of people try to feel like they got to work for hope. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love always hopes. I want you to see the order of this. But now abide faith, hope, and love. Come on, shout it with me. Faith, hope, and love. Great job. But the greatest of these is love. Have you ever wondered why faith, hope, and love are the greatest virtues? And when you see that scripture, I want to show you something. There's specific order to that. I want you to see it. Faith, hope, and love. Notice it wasn't love, hope, faith. Notice it was faith, hope, and love. Hope isn't actually something we do. It's something we receive, much like the grace of God. The grace of God is something to be what? Received. Hebrews 11:6 even says this, without faith, it's impossible for us to please him. And so I want you to see it this way. If faith is something we give to God, all right, and hope is something he gives back to us, that creates the dynamic in the power of our relationship. And with that in place, we can love. Love is built on hope, which is built on faith. And I was looking at that this week. I thought, man, God, you're so good. You're so powerful. And so for hope to exist, unfortunately, it looks like there has to be hopelessness first. A perfect world wouldn't have any need of hope. And so how many know, again, before we met Jesus, we were all in a place of hopelessness. How many of y'all were lost without God? Talk to me. Y'all too quiet this morning. Amen. So we were in a place of just hopelessness that we needed to know. We needed to experience that hope. We were all in a hopeless place. We were a hopeless case. One song, an old song sings. and without his amazing grace. And so God saw it that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, came to the earth to provide a once and for all substitute for the sins of all of humanity. So you and I didn't have to pay for our sins. I'm glad you didn't have to pay for your sins. Amen, everybody? The debt that we owe. And that's why even if things look bleak sometimes, there's always hope. I want you to read this verse with me in Psalm 71:14. Read this with me. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Here's what I've learned sometimes, that sometimes, even when I don't believe it, I still got to speak it. Because sometimes I got to tell my flesh to get under control and let my spirit take control. Because my mind, my carnal mind, will try to mess me up and try to tell me why this isn't going to work. And Satan's real good at trying to remind me of why things aren't going to work or my God's not going to work out for me. Are you with me? And so it's trusting and remembering, as for me. In other words, I don't know what your decision's going to be, but I'm making it a personal one. But as for me, I'm always going to have hope. I don't care what comes my way. I'm always going to live in a place of hope because I know who my God is and I know what he's capable of. I've seen what he did in that year of my life and in that season. So therefore, I know, baby, what can happen in this season of my life. Come on, am I talking to anybody? Yeah. And so when you're disoriented, when you're drifting, storms of despair hit, you need something solid to hold you into place. That's why the Bible calls it the anchor of the soul. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, we have this hope. I love how God uses this as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. No matter what storms come, hope is going to keep you secure. The question is this morning, am I anchored? Am I anchored? You ever seen the hurricanes on the Weather Channel? Seen the storms come in? How many know that sometimes feels like a reflection of our life? It's like, man, the winds are blowing. It just keeps raining, and it's hard. But if you're anchored, you're not moving. Man, you ain't going to move. And Scripture, we read this a few weeks ago, you can be in a place of being immovable or unshakable. And that's the piece about God. I've seen it within my own life. I've watched the hope of God. You know, that's why when we have loved ones who die and pass away, when you have the hope, you have the promise that you'll see them again in heaven. That's hope in the promise. Are you with me, everybody? I was thinking about, and for us during this Christmas season, man, it just comes up in me. And I know for Bethany and I, when we were pregnant with Braxton, who's our youngest, he had a twin. And we had twins and for a while, and then we lost one of the twins on the way. It was very difficult, as you can imagine. Very hard. And during this time of year, we think about that. As we see him, we wonder about his twin. You know what I mean? But here's what we know, and we think about this a lot during Christmas, is we have the promise, and we have the hope that one day we're going to see that child. And I just felt like I wanted to encourage every person who's ever lost somebody, every person who's went through a miscarriage, you have the hope, and you have the promise, come on, to see them again someday. Can we give God a hand for the hope? Amen, everybody? Come on, we need to be thankful for that. Amen? So in the midst of our distresses, in the midst of our battles, in the midst of the things that we're going through, it's hope that keeps us anchored. And you may be partying on the mountaintop with God, and those are usually great seasons. But I choose to believe, and I feel like I can speak to this, especially just through the year that I have had personally, we get to know him intimately when we go through the valleys. Some of us are in a valley season, and I'm just saying, don't curse your valley season. Instead, look at it as an opportunity for you to draw closer to God. Instead of pointing around and trying to figure it out, no. Run to the Father. Run to the one who gave it all for you. Are you with me? So how do we do it? How do I get it? Number one, how do I get this hope? Hope requires trust. Absolutely. You've got to trust him. Isaiah 9, such a great verse of Scripture here. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne, over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I want you to just underline the last verse of that. The last sentence says, it's the zeal of the Lord that will accomplish this. In other words, God gets excited He's zealous, enthusiastic, passionate, obsessive even, to bring you and I this powerful hope. And this is the problem I think that some people have with hope is they will tell you, well, you're not being real enough. You're not being honest enough, or you're not being, you know, pragmatic. You're in denial. But it's like the anchor. I want you to just imagine with me the anchor today on a boat. It may not look like it's going to work in the natural. Little anchor holding a big boat. How many have ever seen something like that? It's pretty wild to think about. It doesn't look like it would work. And your natural man will war with you and telling you why it won't work, why things aren't going to pan out, why it's not going to happen, your emotions, your feelings. But that's why you can't live your life based upon your emotions or your feelings. You have to rest on the anchor of your hope. Amen? David was experiencing this in Psalm. He said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in him. In order for it to work, you've got to throw the anchor. And for some of us, man, it's God is waiting on you to make the move. For some of us, it's like, man, I'm just waiting on God to move. And for some of us, God's waiting on you to move. I don't know about you, but I just want to be a faith taker, a risk taker. And whatever that means. And so even with this building process, I realize it's above us. I think anything that we can accomplish on our own is probably not a vision from God, because you need faith in order for that vision to come about if it's a God thing. And so I would rather be on the side of taking the step of faith. And if it goes wrong, that's fine, but grace covers me. But if I don't take the step of faith and take the risk, then I live the rest of my life regretting that I never took the step of faith. And then I regret maybe missing it. And so I'd rather be on the side of just knowing that my hope is anchored in God. It takes the measure of faith to have that hope. Here's the second thing, that hope is anchored to something that is unseen. 2 Corinthians 4 says this, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what's happening around me, not the circumstances, but on what is unseen. My hope, my anchor. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I'm just encouraging you this morning. You're going to have to get comfortable in embracing the unseen in your life. That's where hope is found. Think about it this way. Anchors go deep within a water and you don't see it, and you don't see what it's anchored to. But when the boat stops, you know it's anchored and it's attached to something. And I would even say this, a lot of people who are even Christians like a Christianity that they can control. And then they get frustrated at God and they get mad at God. They point fingers at God because things aren't panning out and this isn't happening, that's not happening. Well, it's because you've created a Christianity that is theologically not even right, because it's all about a relationship in the first place, and it's all about what he wants, not what you want. And so we get frustrated, and these walls come up with God. But walls, remember this, walls that come up between our relationship with the Lord. And I've seen this in my own life, and I've heard people say, man, just feel like there's a wall between. Think about it this way. Every wall is man-made. And so if walls are going to come down, it's going to take honesty on my part to get honest with God and to get honest with myself. And I can't just point fingers. So I've got to take responsibility for what God is wanting to do to me and what he's wanting to do for me. And I would say it this way, that the best way to lose control is for you to try to control everything. I'll say it again. The best way to lose control is to try to control everything. And so until you get comfortable with the unseen, you can't get anchored. You can't have that anchor of your soul. And that's why, number three, you have to find it in Christ, in a relationship with him. It's the only way. It's the only way. Our hope is only as good as what it's attached to or what it's anchored to. Are you with me? Hope in and of itself has no power. But hope, when it's anchored to Jesus, has all the power and the victory that you and I will ever need. Why? Because he's all powerful. God is everything, I promise, that you and I need. And so in this season, and people even maybe that you know what they need? An encounter with Jesus. Get him here Christmas Eve. Get him here next week. Romans 15:13. I read this scripture at the beginning of the message. I want to read it in a different version. I love this. It says, may God, the source of hope, fill you with joy and peace through your faith in him. And then I like this last part. Then you'll overflow with hope. Hope is contagious. I like to get around full of faith-filled, hopeful people. Amen? We got enough doom and gloom in the world today. What America needs is hope. What America needs is for you and I to continue to rise up and point people to Jesus, the source of hope in all that we need. Can you say a good amen? So how do you know? Man, how do you know? How do I know if I've got this hope? Well, while everybody else is freaking out, you're not. Or everybody else is trying to guess what's going to happen next, you're cool with it because you're anchored. You're anchored. And because you're anchored, you just trust in whatever God's going to do because you know God's got it. And that's a peace that comes with that hope that surpasses all understanding. That's the braggadocious side of God that just shows off. He said, in the midst of your hope, I'm going to give you some peace with that hope. Everybody's losing their minds and freaking out. You're good. And there is a place in God. There's a consistency in God that you can have, that you can be in a place of being immovable. Scripture talks about always abounding. And then I close with this verse and we're going to pray in Isaiah 40. It says, but those who hope in the Lord, come on, will renew their strength. Some of you today need your strength to be renewed. And when you do, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Come on, are you anchored? Come on, let's bow our heads right there and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much today for your presence and just the sweet presence of God that's here. And Lord, your word declares to us that you are close to the brokenhearted. You are close to those who are crushed in spirit. Lord, I know that our brokenness draws you. And so, Father, I just ask for this today more than anything, that we would throw out the anchor today. That we'd throw it out. That we would not try to trust in what we can do or a method that we could come up with or a strategy for it. We would just rest in the peace and the hope of knowing that you know, and we're going to lean in on you and trust you. And God, that we're not going to leave here in this moment and head home or wherever we go today and just forget about it. But God, that you're really wanting to do something even right here in this moment. And so, Father, I pray the anchoring of the Holy Spirit grab a hold of our hearts today in a powerful way. God, we need you. And so we just invite you right now to move. And if you're here this morning with every head bowed and all eyes closed, come on, maybe you recognize, man, I'm new to this. New to all, just discovering God. And I realize, man, that anchor you're talking about, I need Jesus. For some of us, even maybe you need to recast the anchor again. Maybe you picked up the anchor, but it's time to recast it because you've tried doing it by yourself. And it's, man, you feel like, man, I'm falling on my face. I need to trust God. I'm talking to you too. In just a moment, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you on the count of three to lift your hands real high. And then you can put them back down because we're going to pray together. And the greatest decision you could ever make is, man, surrendering your life completely over to Jesus Christ. So all over this room, on the count of three, come on, one, two, three. Come on, real high, real high. Yeah, gotcha. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, proud of you. Proud of you guys. Awesome. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, sir. Awesome. Man, you can put your hands down. And I just want to lead you in a prayer. If you raised your hand, I just want you to pray this with us. All of us together, come on, one voice. And just repeat this after me. Say, God, I give you my life. My life does not belong to me. It belongs to you. I surrender. I surrender everything. I repent of my sins. Cleanse me of my past, God. I declare today, I'm anchored in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning. Come on for one.